children. How powerful it is to see you step out and allow God to use you to bring life to His Word. The Holy Spirit was in and working through you. I'm grateful to come up after you and preach today and get to continue the sermon series on the first church. Today's sermon is on Acts 2, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And it's not very surprising to me that God would pick this week for me to stand up here and deliver a message on the outpouring of the Spirit. Because I'm not standing in my own confidence, but I'm standing in my abilities to be empowered by the Spirit, for Him to move. And it's not only a topic, the Holy Spirit is not only a topic that I'm passionate about, but I'm here in faith that God will speak through me through His Holy Spirit. So if you would, please open up to Acts 2, 1 through 21. And if you need a Bible, they're in the pew rack in front of you. And hear now the word of the Lord. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native tongue? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Christians and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be darkened and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This passage takes place on the day of Pentecost. The gathering in the upper room is 120 believers of Jesus who have been praying continuously, like we learned last week. They are obediently waiting for the gift of the Holy Spirit to come. And the time has come in this passage. The time has come, and Luke has given us great detail of this experience. We see that the Holy Spirit comes on the believers in a powerful and dramatic way. There is no denying God's at work, considering they're all given the ability to speak languages without any formal training. The experience is not a quiet occurrence either. A crowd hears the noise and comes to investigate. There's lots of emotions going on, and the crowd has a variety of responses to the Holy Spirit-filled believers. Some are perplexed and amazed, while others mock and claim the believers are drunk. And in this moment of confusion, Peter stands up with the 11 to clarify what has happened. Peter begins by quoting the prophecy of Joel and speaks of fulfillment of the Holy Spirit. The fulfillment of Joel's prophecy is significant for those present that day and for generations to come. One of the reasons the fulfillment of prophecy is important today is that the Holy Spirit is poured out on all believers. As the children saying, and over again, it was so exciting to see them proclaim the Holy Spirit, come, come on us, all who believe in Christ. And in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come on those who God picked for a specific purpose to do His will. But because of Jesus, if we look in verse 17, it says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all believers. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Jesus reconciled relationships with His death. And resurrection, the work of reconciliation, continues through the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit dwells in those who believe in Jesus Christ as the Messiah. God is equipping those in Christ to continue His mission and live in Jesus' example. God's truth, love, and grace and mission are not bound by geography or time or relevance. As Joel's prophecy parallels many natural divisions in our world relationally, God is reconciling those relationships through His Spirit. The Holy Spirit is empowering all believers to do God's mission. God is alive and at work this very moment. The Holy Spirit was doing transformational work here in Peter. Look at verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Yes, Peter, the same man who denied Jesus 3 times, is now standing up and speaking of the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. Earlier, this man cowered as people asked him if he knew Jesus. God has transformed Peter through the Holy Spirit. Peter is not doing this in his own strength, but now is filled with the Holy Spirit and stands boldly in the truth of Jesus the Messiah. In a moment that could have erupted into confusion and chaos, Peter stands up with a clear mind and a raised voice to share the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. Peter was risking his reputation and his life as he stood up for the truth of salvation through Jesus. Peter was not standing on his own strength, but in God's. The Holy Spirit was present and working in and through Peter, empowering him to do God's mission. Like Peter, and like many of the students who were up here today, I am in a place of risk right now. I do not have a plethora of preaching experience, yet Jeremy asked me to preach today. And as I agreed to do so, I was a bag full of emotions. My life is not about me or how I feel, though. If I based all decisions on feelings, life would be a mess. God's grace has rescued me from a pit of despair and darkness, and He has set my feet on a solid foundation and prepared a path for me to walk into. God is leading me through His Holy Spirit by stretching and growing parts of me where I feel inadequate. Above all, He is empowering me to do His will. So His name be glorified, not mine. Satan would like to rob me of these experiences by isolating me with fear and filling my head with lies. Our God is greater, though, and His strength provides freedom to stand up and to step out and to follow after Him boldly. And this is a stand-up moment for me, which means that I'm leaning into God, trusting the Lord to use this message by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the enemy would like us all to believe that the Holy Spirit worked in the book of Acts, and it was then. And that the momentum of the Holy Spirit has passed and no longer looks the way that it does in the Bible. But I have a question. Does God change? No. And does His Holy Spirit change? No! All believers are empowered by the Holy Spirit to do God's mission. When believers stand up, as Peter stood up, and make room for the Holy Spirit to move within them, God's mission is lived out. Lives are changed, transformed, and people are freed from the bondage of hopelessness. Believers experience God's Spirit at work and begin to live in the space of uncomfortable in order to trust in the Lord in new ways. Those of us in Christ have the same Spirit of Acts inside us right now. It is one thing to understand that in our minds, that God poured out His Spirit to all believers to empower them for God's kingdom work. But what does it take for this knowledge to move to our heart? We all have great potential to be used by God. But when we do not allow ourselves to be stretched, then the Spirit is restricted. Where is God asking you to stand up? What makes you uncomfortable? Would it be mentoring a group of men or women? Teaching your trade to the next generation? Visiting people in the hospital? Is it building intentional relationships with your coworkers? Or having someone over to dinner with your family? Or going to the rescue mission for an urban plunge? Could it even be teaching God's word on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning in the children or youth program? Having lunch with a homeless man, learning his story and seeing him for who God created him to be. Befriending someone who is different from you at school. Yes, kids, I'm talking to you. You can live out God's Spirit today, too. Asking to pray over someone and following through with it. And showing, how about this? I know my students struggle. Showing kindness to your siblings. There are moments every day God desires to speak, lead, and teach you something new about Him. Through actively trusting in the Holy Spirit to empower you, God can grow your faith while also building His church. We do a disservice to people when we refuse to let God use us on a daily basis for His kingdom. The Holy Spirit is not only present on mission trips across the world or on retreats when we travel together and get away from our normal routines or on Sunday mornings when we come here to praise Him in this building or even in prayer gatherings. The Lord is present there and His Spirit is there, but it's not only there. It is present while you're making breakfast for your family. The Holy Spirit is present at school, while you're driving to work, teaching, counting numbers, taking care of babies, sorting products, meeting after meeting, and every hour of the day. The process of knowing when and what God is asking you to do takes patience and practice. We must make room for Him to work despite our busy schedules and constant distractions. Surrendering your life for His mission and finding moments to say yes to Jesus by stepping out in faith to see Him work through you is how we practice and grow and become confident in His Spirit. All believers are empowered by the Holy Spirit to carry out God's mission. Where should you be risking for God's mission? Would you please join me in prayer? Father God, I thank You for Your word and how You speak to us, Lord. And I thank You for Your Spirit that lives within us as believers. I thank You for those who are here who have yet to have an intimate relationship with You, Lord, who have come to know You. I pray that You draw them closer to You. Soften their hearts, Lord, and show them Your love and Your grace. Father, may Your Spirit be known. Allow Your people to trust in You and the uncomfortable. May our lives testify to others Your love, Your grace, and Your reconciliation. Draw us closer to You and Your mission. Give us clarity about the ways You want to move in our lives. And remove any pride or anxiety that keeps us from being fully empowered by Your Spirit. May we find courage and strengthen you to live in a way that brings you glory and honor. You are all powerful, yet you choose to use us as your vessel. Remind us who we are in you, and grow us into kingdom builders. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.